are some seats right down below us where if fans stand up, they can completely block our view of the plate. And at this moment, a gentleman has stood up, and I cannot see the umpire, the catcher, or the batter. So, Ronnie, take over.
Can you sit down, please? Can you sit down, please?
Here is the 3-2 pitch on the way to Gonzalez. Fly ball to right. It's going to be caught by Hoffpower, and that ends the inning.
Yeah. One of our favorite clips of Ron Santo. Ron Santo having no patience for the guy standing in front of the booth with the sign blocking the view and telling him, Ron Santo telling him to sit down. Ron Santo was a great friend and a good guy, and he suffered from, it was very public about it, suffered from type 2 diabetes from the time he was 18. Throughout his entire career, and ended up losing legs to it. He developed what they call diabetic foot ulcers, and eventually it led to amputation. And we're here to talk a little bit about that and to shed a little light on it is John Lantis of Mount Sinai West and St. Luke's Hospitals in New York. I'll talk a little bit about that, and then I'll talk a little bit about how you can help out. And doctor, welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very, very well. So let's talk a little bit about the focus that you have, that you really talk about, is diabetic foot ulcer. Can you explain what that is to everybody?
Sure. Unfortunately, about somewhere around 14 to 20% of adults with diabetes have a chance of developing a foot ulcer. And what this really comes down to is a loss of sensation in the foot secondary to diabetes effects on nerves and creating something called neuropathy where you can't feel your foot very well. And then actually the shape of the foot can change with diabetes. And then as you walk around, you just get pressure points. So think of it as if you went for a walk around the lakefront with a pea in your shoe, but you couldn't feel it. Mm. And that was a hard pea, and you just or a pebble, and you ended up with a hole in the end of the day. Well, you'd hurt, and you'd stop, and you'd know it was there. But unfortunately for a person with diabetes, they don't. They don't know it's there. And the hole gets there and then has a potential to get infected, and then the bone can get infected. And I heard you were discussing Ron Santo and people like him who are wonderful people end up potentially getting chronic infections, and then the shape of the foot actually changes, and then they can lose a foot potentially. And it's a terrible thing.
Yeah, it is terrible. Now, what are some of the top warning signs of foot ulcers, Doc?
Well, the first thing should be really if there's loss of sensation in the feet. And sometimes, you know, as you age, you start thinking, oh, my feet feel a little numb. It's a little odd. But really, people can become pretty insensate. So keeping an eye on that, and there are tests for that that the general practitioner can do. Certainly, if you start to have numbness at night, you should see your primary care physician, especially if you know that you're diabetic. In addition to that, if there's any changes in shape of your foot, and probably the biggest thing that the individual can do if they're noticing that is be aware of their footwear. You know, walking around like a little slipper or a little tiny shoe or a hard-bottomed leather shoe for an adult businessman may not be ideal.
Okay. And for those people who are diabetic, what are ways that they can – are there ways that that can be avoided? Is it inevitable that they're going to get neuropathy?
Definitely not inevitable. Tight blood sugar control, really paying attention to your blood sugar. So when the physician says, you know, you should check your blood sugar once a day, quite often, and I understand why, we all understand why, one person comes in and says, oh, I check it once a week or something of that nature. But that, unfortunately, Mother Nature has built in very tight blood sugar control for us. So a lot of times if we have diabetes, our sugars fluctuate hugely during the course of the day. And so checking your blood sugar more often and really trying to keep it more to a normal range, which is in the sort of the 100 to 200 range or lower, is ideal.
Yeah, no, my mother is diabetic. She, you know, she checks her blood a lot, and which is a good thing. And it is sometimes I'll be over at her house, and after a meal she'll check her sugar or her blood, or before a meal. And sometimes it's drastic, like you just said. I mean, it could swing wildly either way.
Correct. one of the good pieces of news, I think, for people like your mom and also like my father, is that blood sugar testing devices are getting better. They're not all the way there yet, and of course, sometimes there's cost involved, but you can certainly speak to your physician about possibly some of the advanced blood sugar testing machines that make it easier and easier, and eventually this will become that there will be a lot less in the way of actually pricking your finger and having to draw blood and such. So things are improving.
Yeah, I've noticed that, and it's, that was the thing that you know, my mom hates about it is pricking the finger, because it hurts, and it, you know, it's not pleasant. You know?
No, it's not. Yeah, if you just said to yourself you had to stick a needle in the tip of your finger four times a day, none of us would say, "Gee, that sounds like a lot of fun."
Yeah. Now, what about how the DFU is being treated? The diabetic foot ulcer. What are some of the advancements where doctors are treating this?
Well, the first thing, and it seems, you know, quote unquote old school, but you first off have to offload the foot, and this can be the hardest thing actually for the individual to do because it requires a lifestyle change usually, and this can be a pretty cumbersome footwear at times, something almost that might look like a ski boot, where you really have to take pressure off the area that's being affected, and that's the first thing to do. The second portion is removing callus and removing any dead tissue around there, and that's usually done by the trained physician, where they cut away that material and bring in a new material. Now, if that's just done correctly, the good news is that about 50% of people will heal, but not quickly, not as quickly as you'd want. It takes several months. So what's changing there are things like artificial skins and growth factors that can be placed into the wound directly and can help speed that along. And then there are some other therapies that people have heard about, things such as hyperbaric oxygen, and maybe in the future, not now, but maybe in the future, stem cell therapies and such. So there are advanced algorithms, but standard care is the first and foremost portion, and that has to start with offloading.
Okay. Now, what are some of the just everyday tips for living with diabetes? What are your suggestions on how people can live with diabetes and live a long and fruitful life?
Of course. And not to scare people, because many people do. Many people have a very good, rewarding life with diabetes. So one is to maintain a healthy weight. One of the big things that can make a difference is just 10 pounds. Even if you're significantly overweight, reducing weight by 10 pounds can make a huge difference in how you control your blood sugar. Remaining active and exercising on a regular basis is very important. Also maintaining your blood pressure. If you are a smoker, stopping smoking is paramount with diabetes. It's a huge risk with diabetes. And then cholesterol and blood sugar control, obviously. The other things to do are you should check your foot daily. And if you can't see your foot, there are many little companies that make a mirror that you can look at your foot, or have a loved one check your foot daily. And then usually at least every 3 months, but often if you have anything strange with your foot, go see a podiatrist once a month to have them check your foot and make sure you're not developing callus.
All right. Okay. Great tips. And we really thank you for talking with us, John. Dr. John Lantis of Mount Sinai West and St. Luke's Hospitals in New York. And we thank you for giving us the warning signs and some tips about this. We appreciate you taking your time this morning.
My pleasure. Nick, have a great day.
All right, you too. And we thank Dr. John Lantis for joining us and giving us those tips and that information. It's important information. It really is. My mom has been living with diabetes for several years. And she maintains she checks her blood sugar all the time and watches her diet, and she's had diabetes for a very long time. And by the way, as you know, every year there's the Ron Santo Walk for a Cure, that WGN participates in every year. And Ron Santo was a great friend and a good guy. And JDRF, he's a big supporter of JDRF, obviously. And it's the leading global organization for funding type 1 diabetes research. Millions of people around the world live with type 1 diabetes. It's a life-threatening anti-immune disease. It strikes children and adults. There's no way to prevent it. And at present, there's no cure. But JDRF works every day to change this. It's got grassroots support. There is deep scientific knowledge. There's strong industry and academic partnerships. And they need help to fund research, to look for a cure, and to keep those who have this disease going and healthy and treatable and treated. And it's a great place. And if you want to donate, you can visit www.jdrf.org. That's jdrf.org. Or you can call 800-533-CURE. 800-533-2873, 800-533-CURE or jdrf.org. And we thank Dr. Lantis for joining us this morning.